Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. To say that the popularity of exchange-traded funds has grown over the past decade or so is probably a bit of an understatement. According to figures from BetaShares, the market cap of Australian ETFs at the end of 2022 was $133 billion, up from roughly $10 billion just a decade before. So it's safe to say that a lot of Australian investors hold ETFs, including, well, I would imagine, a fair few listeners. So on today's episode, we are going to take a dive into why they've become as popular as they have, how they've managed to actually perform over the years, and, you know, some trends that we're seeing in how investors are using ETFs in their portfolios today. And to take us through all of this and more, I'm pleased to say that we are joined by founder and chief executive of StockSpot, Chris Bricky. Chris, welcome to Friends with Money. It's a pleasure, as I was saying before, to finally have you on the pod.
Yeah, so good to be on the show, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome, mate. Before we get into things, I should say as well that that building your wealth with ETFs is actually the topic of our cover story for the August edition of Money Magazine, which is out right now. So if you'd like to dive into the subject even further, including having a look at some commentary from Chris as well, I'd recommend picking yourself up a copy. But Chris, let's get into things. First of all, why do you think it is that ETFs have grown so much in popularity over the years? You know, what makes them an attractive option for investors?
Well, they're just becoming so popular that I think it's even hard to keep up with how much is invested in them. So I think even over the last 6 months, Tom, that $133 billion that you mentioned is now up at almost $150 billion. So
wow.
There's a ton of money going into these products. There's a few reasons, really. I mean, I fell in love with them about 10 years ago and really decided to start my business to help people learn about investing into them. I came from an active funds management background, so, you know, timing the market and picking stocks. But for everyday people, what I realized is it's very difficult to do that successfully over the long run, or even find fund managers to do that successfully. And ETFs are such a wonderful solution that allows people to invest into the broad markets, and not just share markets, but other investment assets like bonds and gold in a really low cost way, in a really tax efficient way. And they're just so easy to access because you buy them on the stock exchange. And so really they're such a wonderful product. You know, it's not surprising to me they've found so much love from investors over the last 10 years.
Listen, that's it's exactly what appealed to me as a first-time investor a couple of years ago. So there you go. There's obviously hundreds of different ETFs in Australia alone now. You might even have a figure at hand as you did before. But are you able to give us any sense, Chris, of the kind of returns that ETFs have delivered over the years?
So there is a fair few of them now, which I think is a good thing, but also makes it a bit confusing for people to work out which are the right ones for them to buy. I think when I was setting up StockSpot 10 years ago, there was only 40 or 50. So it was pretty easy to categorize them and work out who's who in the zoo. I think now there's over 250. So there's definitely a lot more of them. And they cover a whole wide range of different investments. So in terms of the returns they've earned, obviously they're different based on the different assets they're investing in, the strategies, and also the time horizons. But to summarize it, over the last 5 years, ETFs broadly following Australian share markets have returned about 8.5% per year over that period. Whereas ETFs following global markets have done better than that. So the one that we recommend returned 14.7% per year over the last 5 years. They've done a bit better than other asset classes like government bonds, which, because interest rates have now risen pretty fast, haven't done as well. So they've only returned about 1% per year over the last 5 years. And then somewhere in between that, gold, which is an asset that we invest in, that's actually done quite well at about 9% per year over the last 5 years. So as you can imagine, there's a wide range of returns, as you find with individual shares. You know, some do better than others. Although with ETFs, you're much better diversified. So your chance of losing everything is obviously a lot less.
Chris, I want to get into that topic of diversity a little bit later on. But before we do, one of the parts of the ETF market that I'm really interested in, and more so getting your thoughts on, is thematic ETFs. You know, could you maybe give us an explanation of what they are and whether or not you think that they can have a place in someone's portfolio?
Sure. Well, historically, ETFs really evolved from, first of all, just tracking broad share markets. So in Australia, the S&P ASX 200 or the S&P 500 in the US, they're great examples of broad markets. And most of the ETFs that came about in the first five or so years in Australia were following these sorts of areas. As the markets evolved and matured, a lot of the new products coming out aren't focusing on the broad share market, but a more niche part of the share market, like a particular sector or a theme. And this is where thematic ETFs have come about. A lot of these new ETFs are actually really quite focused on a niche area of the market. It could be, lithium and battery stocks, or it could be artificial intelligence stocks or robotic stocks. So they pick a smaller segment of the market, usually where the manager or the person issuing this product, you know, has a view that this particular area is going to grow faster than other areas of the market. And these ETFs allow you, rather than to buy individual shares that track this particular theme or sector, it allows you to buy a basket of them at once. So it does help you diversify, as well as get exposure to an area that you may believe is going to grow faster than everything else. Is there a place in people's portfolios? There can be. So they come with a little bit more risk than buying individual broad market ETFs, because when you buy an ASX 200 ETF, you're buying a whole range of different sectors. So you get some financials, some property stocks, you get some banks and miners, you get some healthcare shares. When you buy a robotics ETF, unfortunately, you don't get all of the sectors of the share market, but in getting that more concentrated mix, you get some opportunity for higher returns. I mean, what we've noticed is that while some thematic ETFs do exceptionally well, the trend is that they often launch at the peak of investor popularity in an area. So, you know, at the moment, AI is very popular. You'll often see then a flurry of activity of new ETFs getting issued in that particular space. A few years ago, it was cryptocurrency, and we saw a whole bunch of different cryptocurrency ETFs launch. Unfortunately, that was just before cryptocurrency prices fell by 50 to 80%. And so a lot of them initially lost people money. So our warning to investors is, when there's a big flurry of activity of new thematic products, that's usually not the right time to be investing in them. So, you know, be patient, and if you have to invest in them, you know, try and dollar cost average or spread out your investment over a period of time.
That's a really good point. Chris, something else that I'm really interested in is what other investors are doing, especially kind of, you know, retail, fairly novice investors. Well, I don't want to say that of your clients, actually. Sorry, of your customers, but maybe they're not novices, but I certainly am myself. So what are you seeing in the way of trends among StockSpot users when it comes to their ETF preferences at the moment?
Well, yeah, we have quite a range of different types of clients. So I guess it varies quite a lot from people just getting started, first-time investors investing $2,000, you know, and we have a lot of parents now investing for their kids or grandkids, all the way through to more sophisticated investors investing millions of dollars for their trust or their SMSF. You know, the trends that we're seeing at the moment is, you know, certainly people, I think, are a bit gun-shy this year. So in 2023, even though markets have had great returns, and we've just published our 12-month returns, which are, you know, in line with historical averages, sort of 6.5% to 10.5% over the last year, I think because 2022 was so volatile, people are a little bit concerned about investing in the share market at the moment. And there's definitely a thirst for income and dividends at the moment. So the themes that we offer, and we offer a bunch to our clients that are very popular, are the ones where there's a higher yield. So dividend shares, some of the higher yielding bond ETFs are popular. And particularly with our retired clients, we're seeing, you know, a lot of interest in earning a dividend that's higher than the RBA cash rate, which at the moment, you know, obviously is much higher than it was a few years ago at around 4%. So yield is popular. Having more defensive characteristics and bonds are becoming more popular, and we can talk about them, you know, in a bit more detail. You know, that's really what we're seeing. But otherwise, our clients are very long-term focused. They're not, you know, looking to trade in and out of markets, and they recognize that markets don't go up every week or every month, and there's going to be periods of ups and downs, and most of them are gradually investing over time. So they've set up a dollar cost averaging plan so that when there are market dips, which there inevitably will be, they're able to buy it at lower prices as well. So there's some of the trends we're seeing at the moment.
Chris, obviously one of the major attractions pulling investors towards ETFs is the diversification that they can provide. But do investors also need to think about diversity within their ETF portfolio itself? You know, for example, thinking about the overlap between companies or sectors in the ETFs that they're actually invested in?
Absolutely, they do. And I think it's a mistake a lot of people do make when they're investing into ETFs. So, I mean, broadly, I think diversification, even though, you know, it's a bit of a technical term, really just means spreading your risk across different areas, you know, whether that's different countries, different sectors, different asset classes, or different currencies. And ETFs really give you a great ability to do that. And really, they allow you to have a lot of visibility around that as well, because they publish what the underlying holdings are. So you can really check whether there's overlap between the holdings of one particular ETF versus another to make sure that your risk and your investments are spread out quite nicely. What we do say with some clients that send in their portfolios to us to be reviewed is that there is often too much overlap in their portfolios, which leads to, I would describe it as redundant diversification. So an example would be if you own three different ETFs tracking the Australian share market, you know, one might be an ASX 200 ETF, one might be an ASX 300 ETF. If you own both of those ETFs, the difference between them is only about 2%. And so you're essentially owning the same thing twice. And I think it can give you the false sense of security that you're actually well diversified because you own two things rather than one, but actually you own two of almost the identical thing. So, you know, it is worth drilling down into the underlying holdings of ETFs, which you can do often on the websites of the issuers. They'll show you what all the underlying shares are, and you can download them and you can compare them. You know, we provide clients with a few visual graphics so they can see that, you know, what sectors they're in or what countries they're in. Because you want to make sure that you aren't too exposed to a particular, part of the market, ideally, because that's what's going to give you a more smooth ride when it comes to your investing.
Bit of a tricky one for you, Chris, but where do you see the ETF sector heading in the future? And do you think enthusiasm from an investor perspective will continue to remain strong?
Well, I think the excitement I had 10 years ago, I mean, I don't think has waned at all. And I'm just as excited now at 150 billion as I was when ETFs were under 10 billion. I think although there has been a huge amount of growth, the opportunity is that our share market is, I think, about 1.6 trillion. So ETFs still only make up about 10% of our market. Whereas in other countries like the US, that is much, much higher. So Australia is a long way behind the rest of the world, and particularly Europe and North America, when it comes to adoption of ETFs. I think that's changing quite quickly, largely to the changes that have happened in the financial advice landscape over the last five or so years. So post the Royal Commission, I think a lot of advisors who used to recommend, you know, active products and products where they received rebates and commissions are now recommending ETFs because their incentives are better aligned with their clients, which is fantastic. But still, there is so much more opportunity for these things to grow. You know, we do a lot of research into managed funds and listed investment companies and super funds and you know, continue to find there are so many underperformers out there that are too exposed to active funds and high fees. And to me, all of that opportunity will be gobbled up by the ETF world over the next 10 to 20 years. So, you know, I do think ETFs will continue to not only grow very fast from new money, but take a lot of market share from people investing in direct shares or listed investment companies or managed funds. Because as people become better educated, they're going to see that far and far away, ETFs are a superior product to achieving growth of your wealth over the long run. And even though you can get lucky and pick a great share or, you know, get lucky with a fund manager, the odds are wildly stacked against you when you go down that path compared to using ETFs.
Before we let you go, Chris, I always like to ask, do you have a tip for listeners that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I've talked a little bit about costs before, so I'll leave that off this one. But I think, I mean, one of the big, I think, contradictions of investing that also is probably one of the biggest insights I've had over, you know, my time investing is that unlike a lot of the other areas of your life where when you do more, you get better results, you know, whether it's studying or working out at the gym, investing is one of the very few areas of life where the less you do, the better your results. And I think that the faster that people can come to terms with that, the better their investing returns and results will be. But also the more time that you have freed up to do other things in your life rather than focusing on, you know, obsessing about your portfolio day in and day out and week in and week out. So, you know, being more hands off counterintuitively will actually get you better results. And therefore having the discipline to make sure that once you've got the right portfolio set up, the right strategy, you know, obviously, you know, listening to this podcast and reading the money magazine are helpful to do, but just do that monthly and you don't have to obsess day to day on your portfolio, go off and enjoy your life. I think that would be my number one tip.
Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure chatting with you today. So thank you so much for joining us and really do look forward to having you on next time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Before we go, dear listener, don't forget to grab yourself a copy of the August edition of Money Magazine for an even deeper dive into the world of ETF investing, as well as much, much more. As always, you can also keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. And if you'd like to get in touch with a question or a topic idea you'd like for us to cover, you can always do so by using our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast zone, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.